Blog Talk Radio.
Gregory, and this is Straight Talk on Blog Talk. It's a prelude to the show that we do right after this on Liberty Radio Live, and we're going to be talking about the kingdom in relationship to religious ideology. We've had a number of interactions with people in the extended network about different things, and one of those things is religion, because it's not particularly a religious network that some of these discussions have taken place on, and there's a decided dislike of religion. You mention anything religious and people get defensive. They think religion is a major cause of violence in the world. And to some degree, they're not completely wrong. A religion is certainly at the root of a great deal of the conflicts that have happened over the centuries. Somebody said that the Bible is the bloodiest book ever written. Well, evidently, he doesn't read much, because you can read all kinds of books about the millions who died in Germany at the hands of the Nazis and the Third Reich. Whether you believe that they were all those Jews killed or not, there certainly were lots of people put in prison camps and killed and shot and bulldozed bodies underneath. You can go to one country after another during that conflict and following conflicts and find mass graves of people who were just murdered, men, women, and children. Soviet Union killed over 20 million people during the war and before and after. The Road of Bones, millions died. And that was mostly a war against religion. Socialism, wars against religion. And communism certainly makes that war. You know, somebody asked me what the difference between a socialist and a communist, and then I said the size of his gun. Really, there really isn't a great deal of difference. Socialists are what the communists referred to as useful idiots, the people that help them move in this direction of a totalitarian state, which is where the communists want to go. They want a ruling proletariat, and they want to be those ruling members. Socialism is the rape of rights of society. Society are granted by God, and socialism wants to take those rights away and place them in the hands of the state under the goofy imagined belief that somehow or other they'll have control. And it never works out that way. And millions have died at the hands of socialists. So, I mean, if you want a bloody book, it would be Karl Marx. Because that's what led to the Nazis were the National Democratic Socialist Party. And, of course, we have a Democratic Socialist Party in America, too. And they move in a certain direction, and they often hold a religion in contempt. But what is religion? What is this religious ideology that we're talking about? So I looked up some definitions about religion and religious ideologies and found some interesting things about those definitions that you might not expect. The body of doctrine, myth, or belief, etc. So the ideas of religion can be based on doctrine, myth, what you believe. But it goes on to say that guides an individual. So it may have a certain moral content to it, but it may have less than moral content to it. An amoral content, because they may be guided by something other than morality. But it goes on to say that a religious ideology is a social movement, institution, class, or large group. Now, that's the first definition. Of course, like we've said many times before, there are often many definitions, and so a second definition is such a body of doctrine, myth, etc., with reference to some political and social plan, as that of fascism, although with devices for putting it into operation. Okay, so religious ideology can include these devices for putting something like fascism, some sort of social or political plan, into operation. Now, that's very important to understand, that a religious ideology can actually be political. People always want to separate church and state. Government and religion. Government's over here, religion is over here. The truth is, government is always religious. Government always has a plan, a social plan, a political and social plan, and it has devices for putting those plans into operation. So, any political idea, plan, institution. Remember, that was part of the definition of religious ideology. Institution is a religious ideology because it's your plan. So a social democrat is religious, whether he goes to church or not. He has a religious ideology. A communist has a religious ideology. A little less moral than a socialist, but maybe a little bit more violent. His plan is a little bit more autocratic, but it's still a religious ideology. One of the things that you see this vehement distaste for religion, besides obviously looking at your modern religionist, your churchgoer, you know, their narrow-mindedness, their superior attitude. Many people join a church because they think this church is right. And if I'm with this church, I'm right, and everybody else who's not with this church is wrong. You're not saved because you're not in our synod. You're not saved because you didn't get our baptism. You're not saved because you did not follow our exclusive rituals. In philosophy, it can be the study of the nature and origin of ideas. Your ideas become your gods. You begin to worship your ideas, the idea that Christ is God. That's considered a tenet of a lot of churches and their religious viewpoints. If you don't accept this, you're out. Or the Trinity. If you don't accept the Trinity, you're out. And then, of course, they have different versions of the Trinity. Or predestination. You know, a big one for Calvinists, predestination. But then there's like five different major groups of Calvinists. And And so what they do is they begin to worship the plan as defined by their leaders. And they are followers of their leaders. You shouldn't call a Calvinist a Christian. You should call him only a Calvinist, because he's only following Calvin or his idea of what he thinks Calvin said. I mean, that's why we call these are Jehovah's Witnesses. These are Catholics. These are because they follow these ideologies. And those ideologies are really idolatry. Because they're not trying to follow Jesus Christ. They're trying to follow some man, some man's ideas, some group of man's men and their ideas. And so what we're going to explore for about 2 hours is the ideas in this religious ideology and why there's such a backlash against religion and what religion really is. Because religion really isn't what most people think it is today. The word has been navigated around something fierce over the last millennium. And even the use of the word threskos or threskia in the Bible, which we translate into religion, is rather an odd thing, because the word isn't really used hardly anywhere else in much of the modern Greek writings. It's actually possible that James picked that word because he's pulling it up from a Latin word rather than simply using the Greek. There's a number of words you find that Paul used that you don't find anywhere else in Greek literature. It's like he made it up, kind of like Shakespeare. He kind of took a part of a word here and part of a word there and made up his own word, because Christianity was doing something quite different back then in the first century than you would see anywhere else in the world. And if you don't understand that and how that fits in, you may not be following Christ. You may be following some philosophical ideology created by somebody with probably way too much time on their hands. A Christian, by definition, is someone who follows Christ, who seeks what Christ said to seek. And most religionists, most people who belong to a religion, are not seeking what Christ said. They're seeking what somebody said Christ said, or God told them, or whatever. And of course, I could be doing the same. So ultimately, your journey is your responsibility. I don't want followers, except my dog. I want my dog to follow me when we go out with the sheep. I want him behind me, and I tell him, heal, and he heals. He stays behind me, pretty much. He still hasn't got over the jackrabbit thing. You know, he still thinks jackrabbits are part of his job. But people are different. You don't want to be following other people. You want to be following Christ. If you're following Calvin, or you're following, I don't want to pick on Calvin, we can go to Schuller or a lot of other, you know, different religious leaders over the centuries, you know, Luther, whatever. And not to say that these guys don't have good ideas. They probably do. But they probably have some bad ideas. You know, that was one of the things that I was impressed. Luther was plagued with kidney stones, and his solution was to drink beer. Whenever he'd have a kidney stone, he drank more beer. He should have drank apple juice. Didn't he know that? He drank apple juice for kidney stones. Although there can be some relief in the beer that they used to make back then. Don't try this with Budweiser. But that was a different beer back then. But apple juice really would have made a difference. But the point is don't follow a man. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek what God really is trying to tell us through these men throughout the ages that we call prophets. And there are prophets among us today. There are men amongst us today that are... And a prophet is not just telling you about the future. That's often what people look... When they see the word prophet, they think, oh, what's the future? Because everybody wants an edge on the future. They want to know the prophecy. What's going to happen? Is Nibiru really coming? Is the chemtrails really real? Is, you know, where's the birth certificate? You know, everybody wants to know what is going on or what is in the future or is there going to be a cataclysm, an earthquake, a coronal mass ejection from the sun? And I want to know so that I can have that edge. Is there going to be a flood? Should I be building my ark? Well, the reality is a prophet is someone who is actually telling you the truth because he's discovered the truth and he's sharing it with you. Now, the problem is that it often gets lost in translation. When he's saying things like religious ideology, you may be thinking something very different and not necessarily wrongly so. You just don't understand what he's saying. Because religious ideology, as we've just seen, can have a number of different definitions. And within those definitions, there are words that each one may have a different definition. So how you take the phrases that define the word will define the word in your own mind, and it may not be exactly what the author meant. And so this idea that people are upset with religions, angry with religion, imagine that religions are the cause of all the terrible stuff. Religion is often an excuse, the tool, an institution. Again, that going back to that definition. In order to implement a plan, a political or social plan, they want to blame the Crusades on religion. The Crusades were not religious in the sense of having anything to do with God. It was a political and economic plan. Now, it was sold as religious. But really what was going on during the Crusades is that they were learning how to put massive armies into the battlefield and move across large areas in order to conquer people. And, of course, the Crusades killed millions of people. But the Inquisition was possible because of what they learned in the Crusades. Take a step back before the Crusades, before the Inquisition. What was going on? There was something changing in Europe. Kings were becoming the fountainhead of justice. They were beginning to becoming the center of authority in society. You hear about William the Conqueror, who was known as Guillaume the Conqueror, and de Bouillon and Stephen and all these kings that were rising up in those centuries at the turn of the millennium. And they were constantly putting down rebels. And so William was constantly being distracted before he moved to England, making a claim against Harold, his cousin. He was putting down rebellions. Those rebellious people are freedom fighters who are saying that we have no king but Jesus. They did not want to be ruled over by these other men, and they resisted them. I always remember the story of Monaco, the king of Monaco. How did he get to be king? Well, years and years before, these pirates landed and murdered all the monks that were in the monastery there. They broke in the middle of the night and slew them in an ambush and became the king, the royalty. They took it at the point of a sword, and they overthrew the existing government, believe it or not, which was the church. Now, I can't speak for the moral character of those particular monks, but I can tell you this. If you go back far enough in history, the church was full of moral men of service, righteous men, not fat friar tucks, but men who actually stood for justice, law, mercy, were performing government services in society by free will offerings alone. And this is the character of Christ's church. When I tell people that the Bible is about government, they don't understand what I'm saying. And they say, oh no, Bible's not about government. It's about faith. It's about Nimrod, about Cain and his first city-state, Lamech and his government, and all those ones that were counted as righteous who didn't seem to have any government. It's about Sodom and Gomorrah, which was socialist states. Those are socialist states. In a time, their sin of Sodom in the time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. They weakened the poor. How? With socialism. Benefits. And with that came things like sodomy. It's staggering to see the similarities when you actually study these cultures. And so much has been done in archaeology where they've actually got writings from these periods and times and tell how their laws were being put together and their statutes were being established and their regulations. And you see this and you say, well, heck, I remember they did that back in the 50s. What were they doing in the religious institutions of Rome? In the temples of Rome. That's where you went down and got your welfare. That's where you registered your children. Because if you didn't have them registered, you couldn't get the benefits of religion, of the plan. Rome had moved from a pure republic, a fairly pure republic, to an indirect democracy, to an imperial socialist state. And before it fell, it actually, from time to time, fluctuated into a total socialist state, I mean, with universal health care, legal title, marriage licenses, courts regulating every aspect of your life. As they took the silver out of the coins of the Roman coin, they had to run away inflation and they implemented price controls. Because there was this runaway inflation. They thought, well, we'll control it. Always, this is where it moves. Socialism, democracy. Democracy is 51% of the people trying to control the other 49. That's Cain syndrome. Trying to control his brother, and eventually it comes to communism, which ends up depending on brute force. You shall contribute to my welfare. Unfortunately, if you say that, if that is your religious ideology, if that is your plan, if that is your institution to establish your society, has that become part of your rituals and ceremonies? Those are your religious institutions. The IRS are simply the priests of your religious institutions. It's what you believe. and they've come to make a collection, you know, like the guys with the baskets at church. Except you better put in. But if once you think that's okay, it's okay to do to you. If it's okay to go to public school, it's okay to take away a widow's house if she doesn't pay her property tax. We have a local widow who has to pay huge property tax on her house because the county put her house in rural recreational. It's a shack. It's not rural recreational. Nobody's recreating out there. She works all the time. She's in her 80s. Trying to take care of herself, she's exhausted. She goes into town with my wife, and she barely buys anything. Why? Because she's saving up for her property tax. Now, I've gone down to the tax assessor and told him, I said, you shouldn't be having her in rural recreation. She's not recreating. That's where she's lived all her life, raised her children. And you've got her in this high tax bracket. Well, if she can come down and appeal, but she's afraid to. She won't. She won't appeal. She's afraid of the government. Don't tell me this is a Christian nation. Don't tell me that. You have a religious ideology, but it ain't Christ. No way is it Christ. You have coveted your neighbor's goods. That is your religion. That was an interesting story that was in the news that there's a judge, and I didn't read all the details, but basically he says, you can have 6 of the 10 commandments up. That's okay, but you got to take 4 of them down because that's religious. And if you read my God's Mini, you would know why I'm chuckling, because the fact that he's the judge is religious. That's the plan, that he is the ruling judge. He decides what is good and evil for you. He's the judge. That's what God means, ruling judge. If you were in the courts at the time of Christ and you went into the courtroom, the judge would be addressed as Theos if it was a Greek court, or Elohim if it was a Hebrew court. It's the term they use for magistrates and judges. Look at your Strong's Concordance. It's not a secret. You just haven't put the ideas together. That's a religious institution, that court, that says, oh, you can't have these commandments because I'm the only God in this court. You have to remove those. Those are religious. And I can't stand competition. That's why you can't mention God in here. That's why they get angry if you mention the Constitution, because they don't want to have to decide based on the Constitution. They're administrative courts. They're not constitutional courts. Now, their whole subject. The point is, these are your religious institutions. They were your religious institutions at the time of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came preaching a kingdom, a different kind of government that operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And we're going to talk a great deal about that in a few minutes on LibertyRadioLive.com. And we'll have call-in if you want to call in. So see you there.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.